Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you, as always, for starting the week with us here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Whether you're streaming or downloading the show, we sure appreciate you being here. We've got a great trip report lined up for you right now, but first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. Two great books waiting for you right now. You've got the original, The Wisdom of Walt, detailing Walt Disney building Disneyland, and also we have Walt bringing that dream to the East Coast, to Central Florida, with Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, author Jeff Barnes' latest book in the series. Both great gift ideas for the Disney fan in your life, or how about just treating yourself? It's a great time of the year to pick up a book and get involved. You know what? These books not only give a little history of Disneyland and Walt Disney World, they also help us become better people, help us have better interactions with those around us, coworkers, friends, family. You'll be inspired each and every time you pick up one of these great books. You can pick up a copy of each on Amazon. There's audiobooks, ebooks, and more. And you can also pick up a copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. Check them out today. Let them know you heard about them here. Check them out at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. I consider this my insurance policy against the crowds because it tells me when to zig when everybody else is zagging. For the cost of a counter service meal down at Walt Disney World, you're going to get 365 days of great information. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1294 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. And speaking of the Magic for Less Travel and senior agents today, we are excited to be joined by another great agent, senior agent over at the Magic for Less, Mr. Steve Baker. Steve, how's it going today?
It's going great. It's always great to be on the podcast, so even better.
Glad to have you on the show. You know, we talk Disney and work with Disney all day, all night, it seems like, but it's always fun to kind of take 30 minutes to recap our own magical memories we've made on you know, the cruises, Walt Disney World, Disneyland, what have you, the Disney destinations.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
All right, so let's go today. Today we're going to step outside of Walt Disney World and Disneyland and go somewhere where a lot of Disney fans maybe you're curious about, but if never had that opportunity, some have, some haven't. And you had a great Disney adventure with Disney Cruise Line recently. So tell us about that.
Yeah, we did. So my wife and I had a milestone birthday last year. And so leading up to that, we thought we would take our adult children on the Disney Magic over to the Met. So we had done, I don't know, countless Caribbean cruises and the 3 and 4 night sailings. We've done Alaska. And when we ventured out to Alaska, we thought, you know, there's a whole bigger world out there than just the Caribbean. So, we dove into the Med and went back on our favorite ship, which is the Magic, and just kind of went all out. We spent a few days in Spain prior to it and just made it a really nice kind of really grand vacation to celebrate our birthdays. And, you know, as our family's kind of gotten older, it's a little trickier to get all the kids together. So we were glad to bring everyone together for that, too.
You know, I think that's kind of the story for most Disney fans. Just the way I see it, a lot of folks start off with a Walt Disney World vacation. You see it on TV. Yeah. Your neighbors go, your family goes, and you say, I want to give that Walt Disney World thing a shot. So you go down there. A lot of people fall in love with it. Then you start seeing the commercials. I've been seeing them a lot lately here in the wintertime for Disney Cruise Line. You're like, you know what? That looks like a lot of fun, too. I'm going to go on a 3 or 4 night Bahamian sailing. Folks explore that. You kind of get hooked. You say, I want to try a 7-nighter on the Fantasy, go to the Caribbean. But then you're right. I mean, then you have the opportunity to really, once you decide you want to go beyond that, there are tons of specialty cruises with Disney Cruise Line, like Panama Canal, Alaska, the Mediterranean, you know, even other places like the take even to Finland, you know, and stuff like that. So you have an opportunity, really, like you said, to see the world. So was that kind of the progression for you guys? You really wanted to, you're comfortable with the Disney Cruise Line product, but you wanted to go out and see more, you know, exotic places.
Yeah, and that's really what it was. We really wanted to have a European adventure. We'd been to Europe before on our own had done adventures by Disney, but to Peru. I think we talked about that a long time ago. But we really wanted to just kind of venture out in some territory that we had never been to. We'd never been to Italy. We had never been to Spain. And so we thought, well, this is a great way to see that. And to see a lot of that is on a cruise, just like, you know, a Caribbean cruise. You're able to see a lot of islands in a lot of different, you know, in a fairly short period of time. So, you know, we kind of were toying around with maybe an Adventures by Disney trip to Italy. But my daughter was graduating with her undergraduate degree in Spanish, and then was getting her master's, and she really wanted to have some Spanish influence. So we were toying with some of that, and we thought, well, let's make it a cruise. And naturally, you know, we went with the Disney Cruise Line brand. We're familiar with it. Been on 14 cruises, well, 13 at that time. And you know, it just was a comfortable cruise line to go on. And frankly, you know, we really wanted some Disney magic on the, no pun intended, since that's the ship we were on. But we really wanted some magic infused into our trip. So we kind of got the best of both worlds. We got that Disney Cruise Line experience that everyone who's sailed on Disney Cruise Line in you know, the 3 or 4 night or maybe 7 night cruises in the Caribbean had, you know, experienced. But you know, we got that coupled with really some bucket list places that we just, you know, wanted to see since, you know, we were little, my wife and I, since we were, you know, little, and my kids, you know, I talked about it all the time as well.
Yeah, someday I'm going to get over there because it looks just, you know, the history of it all. I'm a huge history buff,
right?
And to see, you know, where all these things I've read about and even taught about, you know, for years and years when I was a teacher, you know, I want to actually have that firsthand experience and, you know, have that the comfort of coming back to my stateroom on the Disney Cruise Line ship, knowing that I'm going to have a good meal, I'm going to have a show if I want, I'm just going to have that comfort, you know, the familiarity of the Disney Cruise Line, but also go to these exotic places. Now, let me ask you something that I'm really curious about because, of course, I've gone on many Caribbean and Bahamian cruises. What's the difference in your planning when it comes to, you know, going overseas, you know, going over to Europe? Like you said, you went to Spain. What was different in the planning of this rather than something, you know, just off the coast of Florida?
Yeah. So, you know, really, what do you want to see when you're in these countries? Because there's so much to see. And when you're in port for one day, you really have to kind of pick and choose. So, you know, we kind of had some family meetings in terms of once we had narrowed down, you know, that this was the cruise, this was the itinerary that we were going to select. You know, we looked at each port and, you know, what is it that you want to see in each port? What's important to everybody? And, you know, kind of narrowing it down and some things require some tickets. So like in Rome, for instance, like if you wanted to tour the inside of the Colosseum, you needed to plan a little more part of your day to go inside because the waits are huge in the summertime. And so, you know, we had to kind of pick and choose a little bit in terms of what we wanted to see with the amount of time that we were actually, you know, in each port. These port, you're there from sunup to sundown as well. So that was something new to us. We are big fans of early dining, but we did second dining on this cruise because we were getting back so late from these ports. Literally, we were up. Breakfast was like, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock off the ship, and then back of the ship around 7 o'clock. You know, enough time to grab a shower and, you know, and get ready for the late dining seating. So it was much different in that regard because we really had to plan more, like, what were you going to do in port? It's a little different, I think, in the Caribbean where a little more loose, it's a little more casual. This was a little more structured, and again, if you want, depending on what you wanted to see, and kind of trying to formulate, like, can we see as much as we, you know, there were some things we had to pick and choose with, but, you know, we just selected tours. We did some private tours as well through an Italian company so that we could, you know, maximize some of that time as well, too. But it did require more planning, more research. It was, you know, some places that we'd never been before. So, you know, I got the old guidebooks. I've seen a lot of clients on the Med Cruise, but hadn't experienced it. But, yeah, we did a lot more planning. We did a lot more. We watched more infomercials on TV about the destinations as well. We asked a lot of questions about, you know, I actually talked to a lot of my clients. Hey, what did you like? What did you do? Guess what? I'm going to go now. So it did require a lot more planning than maybe, you know, going to the Caribbean. Even the first time Caribbean, we didn't plan as much as we did, you know, for the first time in the Med.
Yeah, the Caribbean doesn't seem that foreign from the Bahamian cruises. You know, it's just like you're covering a little bit more ground. You know, it's slightly more exotic, but it's very similar. Now, I would imagine, though, you know, you've worked in travel for years. You know, like you said, you've helped countless guests plan amazing, you know, vacations to all the Disney destinations. But it sounds like you were really excited to kind of be on the opposite side of the fence there, where, you know, you were having to do the research, because I think as Disney fans, that's part of the fun. Sounds like you guys enjoyed that.
Yeah, it really was fun. It was fun for my adult children. It was fun for my wife and I. And really the great thing about this was the things that we did in terms of the tours that we did, and my kids are all over 18 now, we did only adult tours. So that was awesome because, you know, I love kids and everything like that, but it was really nice just to have adults on this, on all of our tours. And again, we did some private tours, which, you know, it just was the five of us. But, you know, we really did enjoy that. And, you know, you're still very, very, feel very, very comfortable. You can see your ship from a lot of, you know, points of interest that, you know, especially like in France, all around, you can see the ship in the bay. So, you know, you just, it comforts right there. So, you know, it's just a little ride away to get back home, so to speak. But it really was a blast to do that.
So I'm really curious about this, too, because I love the ships probably as much as the ports and on almost every one of my cruises. You know, I could stay on the ship the whole time. Just about. We go to Nassau many times. I don't get off just to have more ship time. But this cruise sounds like, since you were there sun up to sundown, you're going kind of a short distance, I guess, because you're in the Med, you know, that you're not traveling, you know, 200-300 nautical miles in
right.
one swoop. So what's that like? Is it little short jaunts, you know, each day? Or how did you feel about that?
Yeah, We had our first day when we left Barcelona, we had a day at sea, and then the last day coming from France back home to Barcelona, we had a day at sea. So we had those day at sea that, you know, everyone just covets. So we got to have that Disney Cruise Line experience for, you know, a couple of days. But the ship, I'll tell you, the Med was smooth as glass. It was almost like sailing in Alaska, which was the smoothest sailing I've ever had. But the seas were just so calm. We weren't going super fast. There's, you can see a lot of things. Like, there's one point where you actually, are sailing right between Spain, which is an island from Spain and France. So that's kind of cool. Italy and France. But you're not going super fast because the ports aren't that far apart. I'm a pretty early riser. So, you know, every morning as we're kind of pulling at a port, it was dark. Sun wasn't up yet. So we were getting there early and again leaving, you know, fairly late in the day. So your port time was pretty extensive. That was unusual. I mean, even in Alaska, we didn't have that much port time as we did. I think here we had, I think we went off the ship almost every day by 7 or 7:30, like I mentioned before. So it was early. So that last day at sea, we just literally kind of hung out by the pool. It was awesome. Because we were so beat, because you literally just were going. But anyway, so much different than your regular typical cruise. And again, I think that's kind of the style of Europe.
Because I think every day when you got off the cruise, it seems like everything's so accessible. I mean, the ports are right there where you can, you know, get to your tour. And like you said, see the ship in many places. And, you know, you want to maximize your time there because how do you, you know, who knows when you'll be back to a place like Europe, you know, and get around to see those
exactly.
things. I'd be the same way. I'd be exhausted because I'm one of those people that I'm an A-type, you know, kind of like you. I want to see it all while I'm there. You know, I can sleep when I get home, but I just wouldn't want to miss it.
That's kind of what we were doing. We were kind of the mindset. Even my young adult children, I mean, my son, so my wife and my daughter and I had a veranda cabin and we put the boys across the hall from us. So we had two staterooms. And on any other cruise that we've been on, we found out that, you know, the boys are going out, you know, later on, which is fine. We're sound asleep. It was kind of the reverse on this. One night I was like, hey, you guys want to go up and like grab some pizza, which is like a Baker family tradition close to, you know, late hours. And they're like, we're beat. We're tired. We're just going to hang out in the cabin. So I was like, who are you guys? And what have you done with my sons?
That's a good feeling though. When you can outdo your kids, man, that's saying something.
Right. Exactly. I mean, 30 years, they're 25 years older than most of them. So, it was funny. But it was a good tire, I'll say. I mean, it really was.
All right. So obviously these cruises do happen in the summertime. That's when the magic tends to go over to Europe. But what was the weather like? Was it comfortable? I mean, it's hot here in the States. I mean, was it similar? Yeah. How'd you feel about that?
It was pretty hot. I mean, it wasn't like humid hot, but it was hot. You know, we were in Pompeii on one day, which was, you know, again, for a history buff, you would love it. It was amazing, but it felt like that volcano had erupted. It was hot. I mean, we were joking around, you know, like we just were expecting the lava flow at any moment. It was really, really, really hot. So, you know, we wore T-shirts and shorts. I mean, and some of the churches that you go into in some of the cities, you have to have your shoulders covered and your knees covered. So that kind of proves a challenge a little bit when you're, you know, when it's hot. But it really was hot. We had gorgeous weather, though. We had blue skies the entire time. Again, we were in Spain for a few days before. We had fantastic weather in Spain. Didn't see a drop of rain or a cloud in the sky the entire 2 weeks we were over in Europe. It was awesome. But it was hot. It was really, really, really hot. And I think, again, you know, looking back at the day that we were in Florence, and we went to Capri and Sorrento and Pompeii on that day, and we took a boat, a train, and a bus, and every kind of mode of transportation you can probably think of. But yeah, it was really hot. So you want to plan on you know, hydration and, you know, light clothing as best you can.
So let me ask you this, and I know a lot of folks in our audience probably know of you, but I bet they don't know this about you, that you're a big Amazing Race fan, and that you actually progressed pretty far as you know, trying to get on the show itself. So I would imagine that this kind of has a taste of that, because, you know, you're in a port there for such a short amount of time, you know, like maybe 12, 15 hours. You want to maximize your tourist experience to get to see these sites and things like that. Then you're on to the next place. You got to get back for dinner, show, and then go to bed and do it again in the morning. So, I mean, did you feel it kind of like a big world, especially with your family there? I mean, it would seem like just like an adventure every day.
Yeah, I mean, that's funny that you said that. We actually talked about that during the cruise, because not that we were doing crazy challenges or whatever the case might be, but we were running around. And we are kind of the family that we don't want to be touristy so much. I mean, there's certain things you want to see, but we really want to be travelers. We want to kind of immerse ourselves in the experience. So like the day we were in Sorrento, we had lunch on our own that day. So we asked our guide, like, you know, hey, this is obviously, they gave everybody a suggestion for lunch, and like, this is what we're looking for. Tell us where to find this. And, you know, we want to obviously make this get back in time. But, you know, he led us to this amazing little outdoor cafe where we had pizza. And I think all five of us would say it was the best pizza we ever had. Maybe we were just hungry. I don't know, but it was delicious. You know, we had fresh mozzarella and balsamic vinegar over it and these pizzas and, limoncello shots at the end that were given to us complimentary because my daughter speaks a little bit of it, can translate Italian a little bit, and got us these free limoncello shots. But, it just felt like it was a complete Italian experience. We weren't like eating at, you know, an American version of some sort of Italian restaurant or whatever. It was awesome. So we did that at every port that we had in our private tour. We had a private tour in Rome, and we told them, like, where's the best place to get gelato? We wanted to get, like, you know, authentic gelato. He took us to this off-the-beat-path, kind of near the Pantheon. And, I mean, it was like we would never have found that ever. And it was like, you know, a small little corner shop. I don't know, maybe 10 people could fit in it. And, you know, we got gelato, and that was a hot day, too. We really appreciated that gelato. So, you know, things like that were a lot of fun, that you can kind of just get immersed a little bit in the culture of what was going on in that city.
Well, I think that's a great tip, too, because you kind of want to see the city as a local would, as a resident would, rather than the tourist traps that you can fall into. Now, did you feel, because you have a lot of experience with Adventures by Disney, I know you went to South America with Rick, you know, and that's kind of the point, I think, with Adventures by Disney. Haven't done one myself, but I've done a lot of research on them, is that they don't want you to experience a destination as a tourist. They want you to experience the destination as a local, you know, to immerse yourself in the culture and the experience as it would be if you were there. So do you think you took some of those things and it helped you have that experience on this cruise?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In Barcelona, for instance, again, this was pre-cruise, but we had done a lot of research in Barcelona because we were going to be there on our own with no kind of guide or no ship to, you know, take us to where we wanted to be. So, you know, for instance, so there we had seen, I can't remember the name of the show, but there's a show where a guy goes on, I think, Carnival Cruise Lines, and he, or maybe it's Princess, I don't know, and he goes to different destinations and he kind of immerses himself in culture. And they'd done Barcelona one day, so my daughter had taped it, we watched it, and they had this candle-making shop that we wanted to go to. So, you know, finding that, my daughter likes to collect books anywhere we go. She's a school teacher, so she likes to collect books wherever she goes that are native to that city. So finding like a local bookstore in each of the ports that we were even in, and that was fun. That was kind of the Amazing Race challenge, because that was a little hard in some of the cities, I will tell you, because she was determined to find a book. But But yeah, you really do. I mean, I think that made the experience so much more rich, maybe, for us, because we really just found ourselves immersed in the culture as best, you know, we could. We would try and find, like, you know, a sidewalk cafe, again, like in Barcelona. We tried to, you know, find some place that was, you know, off the beaten path a little bit. So it was a lot of fun doing that. We did find an occasional Starbucks, so we, you know, my daughter and my family could get their coffees or whatever. But it was, for the most part, we didn't go into anything that was, I would say, Americanized.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you're in a Disney park there with your Starbucks, because you can't go 100 yards. You know, you gotta have it.
So. I know.
That's it.
It's so true. We like to collect those Starbucks mugs or wherever we go to. So we, you know, we got them from. Everywhere we went. So yeah, there was another mission on that too.
They saw you coming. All right. So let me ask you though about the makeup of the cruise itself, because I think, you know, the Bahamians cruises, you know, on the Disney Dream tend to be a lot of families. You know, also the Caribbeans on the Fantasy tend to be a lot of families. And Disney's a family cruise line. Did you notice that there was a different demographic on this cruise, or was it families? And how did I don't even know how the vibe would be, because it seems like, you know, by the time you get back, everybody would be tired. Were the shows full? I mean, what was that like?
Yeah, I was completely surprised how many families were on this ship, how many young kids were on this cruise, which really were more noticeable, again, because we did only adult tours, you know, on the days at sea. Kids everywhere. So, I mean, one of the days at sea, we were waiting for the Aqua Dunk and with my sons, and the three of us were, I don't know, well over most of the kids. We waited about a half an hour, so you kind of know where that was in terms of the landing if you've been on the Aquedunk. There was no other adults in that line. It was all kids. So, I mean, there were kids everywhere. We didn't, you know, really do a lot of, I mean, again, my kids are, you know, young adults now, so we hung out in the adult-only areas. So we weren't intentionally with a lot of families. But, you know, again, we had late seating, and one of the tables next to us was a family. And then there was a big table, like I think it was a family reunion with a bunch of kids at that table as well, too. You know, the shows, we didn't do a lot of them just because we were late getting back for some of them. But we did see Tangled, which was awesome on the Magic. They did a great job of translating that from the big screen to the stage. And we saw a couple of the others, but, you know, again, families everywhere, a lot of Europeans. We did notice that there were definitely a lot more, there was a lot more culture diversity, I guess I would say, on the ship than maybe there is on a traditional sailing on the Dream or the Fantasy.
Which I think would be a lot of, you know, to me, that would be so awesome, because I love that. That's one of the things that, again, I haven't traveled internationally. You know, the only thing I've done is go on cruises outside the country. And I'm dead landlocked in the middle of the United States here in Missouri.
Right.
So, you know, we don't get a lot of that. And when I get to meet people from around the world, that is such a bonus for me, because you just, you know, you might be sitting next to somebody in a bar, or, you know, having dinner with somebody, or, you know, sitting at the pool, or, you know, back at Pluto's Pizza Shack or whatever it is, you know, Flo's V8 Cafe on a different ship, and you can strike up a conversation and really get to know somebody from that you would never cross paths otherwise. So did that happen to you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there were certainly a fair share of Americans on the ship, but, you know, waiting in line, we are still big, and maybe it's me pushing them, but seeing characters. The cool thing about on any different type of sailing other than the Bahamian or the Caribbean sailings is that the characters are going to be dressed in kind of native attire, right? So that happened in Alaska. But also, you know, here, so, you know, there was Italian Mickey and Spaniard Mickey and, you know, French, and so, you know, that was so cool to have them dressed in costumes. So, of course, we got to see them. So waiting in line, you know, you kind of strike up conversations with a lot of different families. And, you know, there were a couple times where I'd strike up a conversation and the person did not clearly speak English. So that was a little different. But, you know, everyone was friendly. It's a Disney cruise, right? Everyone's so happy. You know, kids are having a blast. Yeah, there was definitely a lot of diversity, and it was fun to talk to people from other cultures. Oh, when we were doing our the lifeboat drill, there was a French family next to us, you know, we got to, you know, there was some delay or something. Someone didn't show up, I guess, but, you know, we got to talking to them. They spoke perfect English, but, you know, they were from France. So they were intrigued about the Caribbean cruises because they'd never been over to do any of the Caribbean cruises. They'd done a lot of the European cruises, Northern Capitals and in the, you know, the English Channel and things like that, but they'd never done anything over in the Caribbean. So it's funny to see how other people live sometimes, because you kind of get in your own little world.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I wouldn't think about that, but if you're from France, then the Caribbean would be kind of exotic, you know? Like, let's go down there and check it out, man. That's pretty cool. It's right in our backyard. So
we take it for granted.
Exactly.
It's a palm tree.
But I think that's the greatest thing about cruising, and I think Disney, when they got into this in the 90s, kind of decided that, and I always heard this, you know, we've all seen the Travel Channel specials 1,000 times, that these cruise ships can go wherever we decide to go. And I think that's the beauty of it, because in Disney Cruise Lines has done a great job with this. And I hope they continue with the new ships coming up in the next few years, is that they can listen to the public and say, you know what, we don't have to be here for 9 months out of the year. We can go here for two or three or four sailings and just put our toes in the water and gauge the interest and see what happens. And, you know, I think this is one that's going to, it's been around for years. Every summer, the Magic heads over to Europe, but it sounds like a popular sailing. One other thing I want to ask you about with this sailing is that, you know, you mentioned there's a lot of, you know, time that people do spend. And of course I would as well, you know, off the ship during the day. Was the programming as extensive as far as, you know, what I love the stuff that Disney Cruise Line does, like tastings and towel folding.
Yeah.
I mean, all the dumb stuff, bingo, you know, was that all there too?
Yeah. Yeah, certainly. If you wanted to stay on the ship and have a day, quote, at sea, not at sea, you could have done that. There was plenty to do. The ship was just as functional as it would be in any of the, you know, the Caribbean or the Bahamian ports that we're used to, or even on a day at sea. The day we were in Sorrento and Capri in Venice, we got back to the ship a little bit early, they had characters right on the pool deck. And, you know, kind of mingling, which I think is so cool. We were just kind of hanging out. You could see Mount Vesuvius from the port, which was amazing. So we were just kind of hanging out. It was a beautiful sunset, and we were just kind of waiting for you know, dinner that night. But there was lots going on, a ton going on. So I would say it's really no different than any other, you know, cruise that we're used to going on, in terms of programming and activities and things that are going on. You can get lost in, you know, literally a sea of activities, or you can get lost in doing absolutely nothing that you might want to do.
That's like my quandary every cruise. Like, I want to do everything that's offered, because there's so many of those things. Like, where else am I going to do this? You know, like, it's, I can only really, I can't go, you know, like, I don't drink ever, but like, tequila tastings are fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, I enjoy that, but I'd never do it at home, you know, but, you know, I want to get off the ship and do stuff too. So it's like, I'm in a quandary sometimes, but it's great to have that option. Now, I know you said you did Alaska, and I've always heard, you know, Mike Bankhead's been on a couple times talking about his Alaskan adventures with Disney Cruise Line. You know, they'll bring on like a naturalist to kind of inform you with like what you're seeing, so, you know, into that area. Do they do that with these kind of cruises too?
They didn't do that here. The first day at sea, they did announce when we were sailing between the two islands that were part of France and part of Italy. So, you know, look starboard and, you know, you can see France. I mean, see Italy, you know, look port and you can see France. I mean, literally, you could almost reach out and touch it. It was cool. But you know, like in Alaska, the whole day with that inner passage sail, like Mike probably talked about, is, you know, there's a naturalist speaking the entire time. And I guess he's on the bridge. I don't really remember, but because, you know, if you look over there, you can see whatever wildlife or see those eagles nesting or whatever the case might be. So a little different in that regard, but it was really cool. But not quite, you know, like that in Alaska, but, you know, a little bit. And they were also, like, the cruise staff was, you know, a lot of them are from there, too, and they were excited because they're going to be near their home country, so... You ask your server about, you know, hey, what's there cool to do, or you know, what do you like doing in port, or you know, whatever the case might be. They loved talking about it.
All right, so you mentioned Tangled earlier, and it was a great adaptation of the movie, you know, that they've brought to the Magic. But you also mentioned earlier in the show that the Magic is your favorite ship. So why is that?
Is.
I mean, every ship has its own kind of personality, but why is the Magic your ship?
So I think because it was the first one I probably sailed on, that's probably one of the reasons why. But I really like, I mean, I like the dream, I like the fantasy, I love the wonder, but I adore the Magic. So I like the smaller ships better than the larger ships. If I had to choose, if I was told I had to go on the fantasy for the rest of my life, I wouldn't complain. But I like the intimacy and the small size of the ship. So you talked about, you know, cultures and other people, you know, and you see the same faces over and over and over and over and over again. So especially on a long cruise, I feel like you get to know your fellow passengers a little bit more on a smaller sailing. It's kind of, you know, not that, again, the dream or the fantasy to talk disparagingly about them, but, you know, you're walking down the hall and someone's like, hey, I've, you know, you recognize them. Or, you know, you're down in the lobby or even in port or on some of the tours that we were on. In fact, one of the tours that we were on, there was a family from Chicago that was on the exact three of our four of our tours they were on. So that was really neat. So, you know, you kind of get to know people, I think, just a little bit more. I think you get to know the crew staff even a little bit more on a smaller ship. I love the aqueduct. The aqueduct is awesome and fun, but the aqueduct to me is just when you're waiting there for that floor to drop, I don't know, there's something about it. I just absolutely get such a rush on it. So, you know, for me, again, I think because it's the first ship I was ever on, the smaller, more intimate size of the ship. Staterooms are, you know, not noticeably bigger, but they're a little bit bigger as well. So I think that's, you know, that's why I like the Magic so much. And it brings back memories of the first time I ever sailed on Disney Cruise Line way, way long ago.
Yeah, I think I need to get back to the Magic. I was on her within her first 6 months of going to sea, before the Wonder even. I think it was before the Wonder came out. I know the Wonder was close, but it wasn't out yet. So it's been forever for me. And obviously haven't done the Aqueduct. So is that something that only thrill seekers like? Is it mildly thrilling, or is it something like if you have claustrophobia, you don't want to get in that tube?
Yeah, so they do show like that. There's a trap door, but it's clear. But you're in, you know, like a tube. It's you're at, you know, before the floor drops. A lot of people do chicken out. I mean, told you about the time we were on with when I felt like it was just every kid and his friend and his brother there. You know, a lot of kids do chicken out. And a different time we were waiting for it. This little kid was so excited. He was going to go on, and his dad was waiting with him. And he got up there. He chickened out. Stood aside. Got in it, got out. But a lot of people do. It's intimidating because you're up high. You can't see what's going on. It's over instantly. I mean, it's really, really, really short. But I don't know, when that floor drops out, it takes your breath away. And you know, I'm an adrenaline junkie. And you know, outside of the Disney product, I love, you know, the highest, fastest, craziest roller coaster that you can get on. With, you know, bigger the loops, the bigger the hills, the better for me. But I really like the Aqua. I think it's a great use of space as well. You know, but from what I understand, they didn't put it on the Wonder when it went through its reimagination because it's not as popular as the Aqueduct is on the Fantasy and the Dream. But I would dispute that in some of the lines we waited on this sail.
I can see that, though. I mean, the way I see it is having done the Aqueduct yet, I can see it's more thrilling, where to me the Aqueduct seems more like a lazy river in the sky. That's kind of how I explain it to people.
Yeah, and it's kind of two rides in one, right? I mean, you get that kind of that sideways curve and then that up and down action, and then you kind of just have that little meandering around as you turn through the funnel, and then, you know, and that's it's you know, it's just fun to kind of sit there and wave at everybody down at the pool. But but this one, I mean, honestly, you can't see what's going on. Boom, it's over. Before you know it, you're hitting the splash.
To what so, you, if you're ever a bank deposit, that's what you'd feel like going through the pneumatic tube.
Oh, that's that is a great, great analogy. It's like a bank deposit. That's funny. That's great, actually.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, so we got to get out of here shortly, but let me ask you this, because you are an expert. You help people plan trips all the time. So somebody's thinking about this, you know, because I think we all have our bucket list experiences we want to have with Disney. You know, I want to do an Adventures by Disney. That's high up. I want to start with one in the States and then go farther away, obviously. Panama Canal Cruise is actually my top bucket list thing. I want to see the Panama Canal with Disney Cruise Line. Somebody may be thinking about a Med Cruise. You know, they've been toying with the idea. What did you learn, or what would you pass on to somebody that's never done this now that you've been there that maybe surprised you? You know, you're a veteran Disney traveler, but something that would help somebody plan a great Med Cruise.
Yeah, well, so I do think, you know, careful planning on what you want to do. Pick and choose what's important to you, and then pick and choose what's important to you, and then find the itinerary that goes there. So that's what we did first in terms of the places that were important for us to see, and most of that was in Italy, and then do your research, you know, and use your travel consultant to do that as well too. It's really important to know what's going on. In each of those ports, how much time you have in those ports, what you're going to be able to see and what you're not going to be able to see. Like in Florence, for instance, we were not able to go to, we went to Florence and we went to Pisa. And that prevented us from being able to go into the museum where, like, the Statue of David is. But there's a replica in the court of that statue, among a ton of others. So we felt, you know, that was a trade-off because we really wanted to see the Leaning Tower of Pisa. So find out what's important, pick and choose, and then find that itinerary that matches it. Here's the other thing that I'll say is important to know. Budget it as well, because it's an expensive trip. You probably could do an ABD in just one, you know, country as well. So if it's important to be seeing more things in the land, look at that ABD option. But if you want to have that sea experience and that Disney cruise experience coupled with a pretty adventurous time as well, then that cruise is going to be a great option for you as well. Because that's what we toyed with in terms of what do we do. And we just really felt like the cruise experience was important to us. Because Adventures by Disney is just a much, much different kind of product than a Disney cruise.
I'm intrigued, man. It sounds like you guys had a great time on a great ship. And, you know, sailing under the Disney umbrella is very familiar to all of us Disney fans, and it makes us feel good. And you kind of know what you're getting into, but you're seeing new places, which I love about cruising. So for our folks that might have questions, you know, further questions, or want to ask you about that experience, you know, to follow up, maybe if they're thinking about doing this, or even an ABD since you've done that, Adventures by Disney, where could folks get a hold of you?
Well, sure. Well, I mean, they can always email me or anybody, but at steve.baker@themagicforless.com. And, you know, love to chat about, you know, any kind of question that anybody has about, you know, any really Disney cruise, Mediterranean cruise, or, you know, certainly Adventures by Disney as well. But yeah, that's the best way to get a hold of me.
All right, Steve, I appreciate the time. Boy, it sounds good. It's a great way to warm up here in the dead of winter. I don't know if there's snow.
Yeah, no doubt. It'd be nice to have some of that Mount Vesuvius heat right now.
Exactly. You're talking about the lava flows.
I'm kind of done with the snow and the ice and the cold temps. I'm ready for some spring.
Yeah, same here. At least baseball season starts soon. You know, it's a big deal here.
There you go. It's around the corner, right?
Can't be too far. All right, Steve, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. Two great books for you here to read as we're trying to make it through the end of winter to get to spring. You got The Wisdom of Walt and Beyond The Wisdom of Walt. Two great books. Like I said, Wisdom of Walt, all about Disneyland. Beyond The Wisdom of Walt talks about Walt Disney taking his dream to the East Coast of Central Florida. Awesome books by author Jeff Barnes. Check them out on Amazon or over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Don't forget touringplans.com, keeping you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on that next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. They can't help you in Pisa, but they can help you just about anywhere else. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Don't forget also, please support the show when you purchase anything on Amazon. Use our Amazon affiliate link. Just click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We sure appreciate that each and every time you use our link. Give us a follow on the social media. I'm at BRGuestMike on Instagram and Twitter, and drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. We'll be back again on Wednesday with more of your listener questions. So thanks for checking in today. Hope you enjoyed a little European Be Our Guest podcast today. So for Steve, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.